Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Thursday, August 1st. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. A cyber fraud industry operating out of Southeast Asia is scamming people around the world out of billions of dollars collectively. And it's built on a modern-day slave trade. Today, we're going to learn about these industrial-scale scam enterprises and the victims on both sides of these crimes. Feliz Solomon covers Southeast Asia for the Wall Street Journal. She's traveled to the region where these scam syndicates operate and spoken to some of the victims. And she's with us now. Feliz, the frauds that are being committed are sometimes known as pig butchering scams. Can you remind us how they work and why they're called that?
These are called pig butchering scams because the scammers will try to fatten up their victims by building their trust over days, weeks, or months before butchering them by getting them to usually invest large amounts of money and then cutting off all contact with them.
Behind the scenes, though, the scammers are victims too. How are they pulled into this?
So I've spoken with several victims from various parts of the world who were basically job seekers, mostly in poorer countries, and they had responded to job ads that they found on Telegram channels or on the internet. And they look like legitimate job offers. Oftentimes, they'll do interviews for what seem like real jobs. They'll receive a job offer and they'll be told, okay, we'll fly you to Bangkok or to Phnom Penh in Cambodia, and we'll meet you there and take you to the work site. What ends up happening is that once they land in that country, they're met by a human trafficker who then takes them to a compound that's basically a criminal enclave.
Your reporting focused on an area along Myanmar's eastern border, what you describe as the epicenter of the global scam industry. Why have scams been able to operate and expand there?
There are a few parts of Southeast Asia where we've really seen an explosion of the development of these types of scam centers. These are places where law enforcement is very weak. It happened in Myanmar because these areas along the border are very remote. There aren't a lot of roads, and they've always been contested areas where they're ruled by various different groups, militias, rebel armies, sometimes. And these places have, for decades, because of their remoteness and lawlessness, they've attracted casinos and people involved in the drug trade. And a lot of this illicit activity has been run by fugitives from China. We've also seen a lot of these criminal compounds being set up in places like Cambodia, where there's just a lot of corruption. So these are places where criminality is really able to thrive.
Have the countries where these operations are taking place responded to your reporting?
Myanmar and Thailand both responded to questions that I sent them during the reporting process. I asked them about specific allegations about people being trafficked through Thailand and committing crimes inside Myanmar. Both acknowledged that these types of activities are happening, but both countries said that they are working closely with neighboring countries to try to address these problems. However, what we've actually seen on the ground is not a lot of progress being made. China has started cracking down on these scam centers since about last summer, and they've been working with law enforcement within both Thailand and Myanmar, as well as in Laos and Cambodia. But they're primarily trying to get at criminals who are victimizing Chinese citizens. And they're also trying to arrest a group of high-profile Chinese fugitives that have sort of found a haven in these lawless places.
Feliz, you've spoken to some of the victims, including an Ethiopian man who goes by the nickname Billy. How did he become trapped in a criminal enclave in Myanmar?
He was trafficked in 2022. He had accepted what he thought was a job offer at a fintech firm based in Thailand. And he was flown to Thailand and he was met there by someone who said he was an agent of the fintech company, drove him to the Myanmar border about 8 hours away. And then a couple hours later, they told him to get into a boat and they snuck him across the border. And there was very little he could do about it. They had his passport, which they said they needed to check him into his hotel. And they took him to a notorious compound called KK Park, which is sort of a big cluster of industrial looking buildings that houses lots of scam dens that are known to be very secretive and very abusive. And he was there forced to work under very difficult conditions for a few months. And then he says that he was sold to another compound in Laos. After a few months there, he says he was sold again to another compound in Myanmar. So inside these places, he was forced to do various jobs. Sometimes they made him do what's called screening, which is the first level of the scam, where he would just blast out messages to hundreds of strangers on Telegram and LinkedIn and Facebook and WhatsApp. And then whoever responds, he would take their number and pass it on to another team of scammers who would then build a relationship with that scam victim. And at other times, he was actually doing that relationship building part of the scam. So over the course of about 16 months that he was enslaved in various scam compounds, he did a number of these different kinds of jobs. But all of them were similar in the sense that they were all romance investment scams. So he would find men online and he would take on the persona of a woman and he would build up a romantic relationship with these men online. And then once they've got a sort of trusting relationship established, he would convince them that his character knows of a quick way to make cash through some investment scheme and then convince them to put a lot of money into it and then disappear with the money.
What if Billy refused?
If he refused to do it, which he occasionally did, he was severely punished. Sometimes these people will be beaten, they could be starved, and they're humiliated in front of the other people. Before he got out, Billy and a few other people that were trapped in this compound had gotten to a point where they were really hopeless, and they had organized what was essentially a strike. They all collectively refused to work and decided that they had little left to lose, so they demanded that they be paid and that they stop being tortured or that they be freed. This was met with very harsh punishment. The guards plucked out a few of these people, and Billy was one of them, and took them out into what he described as a courtyard in the compound and hung them up where everyone could see them and tortured them for a couple of days. Then they were taken into isolation and beaten even more. And eventually, the guards, seeing little point in keeping them any longer, had told them that they would free them if they paid a ransom. Billy was told that if his family could come up with $7,000, they would let him go. And they did that by his father had to sell his home in Ethiopia, and his best friend had to borrow a little bit of money to make up the balance. But they scraped it all together, and Billy was let go.
When we come back, we'll discuss the global scale of these scam syndicates and why cracking down on it is so difficult. That's after the break.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
We're back with WSJ reporter Feliz Solomon, talking about the multi-billion dollar criminal industry that forces human trafficking victims to commit cyber frauds. Feliz, let's talk about the big picture. You've described some of these scam operations as industrial-scale enterprises built on a modern-day slave trade. How many people are forced to work in these operations?
The United Nations estimates that hundreds of thousands of people have been trafficked into these scam centers. And these are probably low estimates. This is also happening in a lot of other places that we just don't have as much data on and we don't have as much visibility on.
What efforts are being made to stop this kind of crime and these criminal organizations?
These types of crime are very resistant to law enforcement efforts for a number of reasons. One, because they're physically located in places that are just hard for law enforcement to reach. For instance, the ones that are located in Myanmar, they're often in places where control of the area is disputed. And so it's not straightforward for Chinese or Thai authorities to collaborate with local law enforcement because it's not always clear who the law enforcement body would be in some of these places. And even if they know who that law enforcement body is, sometimes they're not willing to cooperate because they're making lots of money from it. And then on top of that, it's hard to trace the money. There are huge money laundering operations these syndicates have set up over the years that just make it really, really difficult to find the money. And jurisdiction is a problem. You know, if the victims are in America and the money is in another country, it's very, very difficult to get that money back.
So what help is available for victims, you know, both the scammers and the targets?
It's very hard for these people to get out of these places once they're in. Those who get out and can get across a border into Thailand, for instance, there they can often find help from a number of nonprofits that have people on the ground there who are looking for them. And they provide a lot of assistance. For financial victims of scams, people who have had their money stolen, first and foremost, they should report any losses to their bank. One thing that victims of financial scams should do immediately is report to the FBI. They have a website called IC3. It's the Internet Crime Complaint Center. And a victim can go onto that website and just tell them exactly what happened, just so they have a record of it. And they get so many of these reports that it's not often that an individual case will be handled and solved and they'll get their money back. But increasingly, as the evidence of these crimes becomes more comprehensive, investigations are built and victims' funds are established. And the hope is that eventually that will lead to some resolution at some point.
All right, that's our reporter, Feliz Solomon. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.